You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Just got my hair done. I make them brand new. Going out tonight, feeling sexy in my mood. Pink blush on my face, brown lip liner, lip gloss too.
Now he wanna lick my bum, but clap my raw to talk, talk, talk. Got him going crazy for that poo, na 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 na. I get what I want, I got that ooh shalaka laka. He do what I say for that ooma da da da.
Welcome to hour three of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes.
Oh, you knew I was going to play it. You knew that I was.
That song is going to be stuck in your head, and you old people are going to be singing that song to your grandchildren while you attempt to twerk. I'm going to read the results of the poll that we've had up for the past couple of hours. Do you support the use of flock cameras? 61% of you say no, you do not. 39% of you are okay with sacrificing a little bit of privacy for safety. Fair enough. Xavier, let's delete this poll because I want to ask another question. And I'm not asking this question maliciously, and I want people to answer honestly, because racism is something that we discuss with great frequency, and we discuss it in a lot of different contexts. There's the kind that is overt, that is blatant, and then there is the kind that is more structural, it is more institutional, and it's covert and kind of behind the scenes. It's almost ambiguous. It's hard to tell. And then when you think you feel something that's racially biased and you call it out, someone will very quickly push back and say, oh, no, that's not racist. That's just a figment of your imagination. So they will gaslight you so you actually are unable to detect, or you stop trying to spot and identify incidences where there is, in fact, racial bias. The more I talk about this country, what it is and its foundation, the more race is evident in just the formation of literally everything from the Electoral College to our modern political system to the realignment of the parties. The parties realign to have a reflection of the impact of race and this moving target that white supremacy often is. And so here's what I want to ask you. And I want everyone to participate in this poll, because our polls are anonymous. We don't know who says what. What percentage, if you just had to guess it, you don't have to know any detail, you don't need any scientific study, but just subjectively, if you're any race of people, what percentage of white people do you believe is racist? And I want to look at the entire range. The range from, like, overtly racist. They'll tell you they don't like N-words, and they use racially insensitive language, and maybe they're affiliated with the far right in one of these separatist groups. So I want you to look at the entire spectrum of racism. So the very extreme, so include that in your number when I'm asking the question, when we're asking this question via another poll. What percentage of white people do you think harbor some kind of racial bias? And then it can go down to the, well, I just feel a little uncomfortable in all black spaces, or the woman who's carrying her purse and she's walking on the sidewalk and a black man is walking toward her, where she will either clutch her purse or maybe she'll cross the street. That's low level. It's still racial bias. It's still expecting and prejudging an African-American man that he may rob her, right? So that's a low level. Or even the racism of low expectations. Like, oh, we're not going to have a reading curriculum that's on grade level for these black kids because, you know, they're all a little bit slow. That's racist, too. If you have low expectations for black children, a lot of times they will meet them, especially if you are providing low expectations for them from the beginning. So if you had to just guess, take a stab at it. And some of you believe that racism is dead. It died when Barack Obama got elected, even though Barack Obama was treated like a black man, even though he was president. What percentage of Caucasian people do you believe harbor some kind of racial resentment? From the minute to the extreme. I often tell a story. When I was going to Blue at the Pfister Hotel, which I haven't been to in a long time. But this was many years ago. And I'm waiting for the elevator because the Pfister is on the 23rd, or the Blue, which is a lounge, is on the 23rd floor of the Pfister Hotel. Beautiful views of the city. They got these huge floor-to-ceiling windows, and they have seating right next to those windows. Milwaukee's skyline has really come a long way, and Blue is a wonderful place to be able to take it all in. Grab yourself some appetizers, some hors d'oeuvres, and grab yourself a little cocktail beverage. Lovely place for happy hour. So I was going to Blue many, many years ago. I think I was meeting some friends there. So I'm in the lobby of the Pfister on the first floor, about to catch the elevator to go up to the 23rd floor. And there was a white woman, probably in her mid to late 60s, if I had to guess. And she was by herself. And we're standing by the elevator. She is waiting for the elevator just like I am. The elevator doors open. I walk in first because she didn't move when the elevator doors opened because, you know, I'm a gentleman. Chivalry is not dead. And I was going to say, oh, ladies first, but she didn't stand there or she didn't motion toward the elevator. She's just standing, looking straight ahead, though. So she's looking into an empty elevator. So I walk in the elevator. You know how you do that thing where you hold your arm against the elevator door just so it doesn't close? And she stood there. She did not enter the elevator. And I'm holding the elevator for her like a fool, and she's literally just staring in my face. I removed my arm, and the elevator closed. Now, that could have been a whole bunch of things. But the only way I was able to take it was she did not feel comfortable getting in the elevator with me because I'm a man. Or maybe she didn't feel comfortable getting in the elevator with me because I am black, and maybe it was a combination of both. But the fact that she stared directly at me. You know what something suitable would have been to say? Not that she was required to say anything, because here's the thing. She didn't have to get in the elevator with me because another elevator would certainly come along. Oh, no, no, go ahead. I'm waiting for my friend. I'm waiting for my husband. I'm just going to wait right here. You go on up. But she didn't do that. And that stuck with me for some reason because it was right there directly in my face. And then I start rehearsing things in my head. Like, what did she think I was going to do to her? Beat her up and murder her in the Pfister elevator? Well, I got to come out of the elevator at some point. And if it's me walking out of an elevator and a dead white woman, that's pretty damning evidence. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking to myself, like, what was the worst that was going to happen? Was going to ask her about a recipe for spaghetti? Like, what? I was so offended by that. You know, when the door closed, I wanted to hit the bottom. I'm going back down to the first floor. I'm going to wait with this hoe. Me and this hoe going to wait together. We going to get in this elevator together, or we going to take the stairs.
And she's really going to call the cops.
Call them. I'll call them first. That's my thing now. Well, I think I'm going to call the police. I'll call them for you. Hey, let's both call them. So we have a new poll up, and I'm just curious, based on what you know, and I want white people to answer this too, because you know who are the best people at detecting racism and who's racist? Other white people. I use white people as like my racism detector, like a metal detector, but for racism, because I want to know. And here's the thing, I don't even get mad at white folks. I understand their ignorance because I know exactly where it comes from. It is produced by America. It is. If you keep people benign to racial issues and you tell everyone it's just a figment of black people's imagination and you use any example of black success to say, oh, racism doesn't exist anymore. That's what America's supposed to do. I don't blame white people for thinking the way that they think. And sometimes I appreciate them thinking the way they think, because if I can put all of them in a box, then I know how to maneuver. Because I know that racism is based entirely on ignorance. And if you are ignorant, there are ways in which I can maneuver. If you're ignorant, especially when it comes to race, you probably see the world literally and figuratively in black and white. There's very little in between. And if you see the world in black and white where there's no in between, you don't really apply for special cases or certain scenarios or exceptions to the rule. If you see the world in literally and figuratively black and white when it comes to racial issues because of your racial bias, then I will live and work in the gray area where you will never be able to see me. And so my curiosities always get the best of me, and I may be disappointed in what these answers are, but I want to know, especially white people, because you guys know. You know which of your cousins, nieces, nephews, your parents, your pastors, your counselors, your therapists, your bosses, your managers, your coworkers. White folks know who is racist because they feel very comfortable talking about the issues of race around one another. And we also have, we have spies. I call them my little beige sentinels, the very light-skinned black people that oftentimes can pass. Not everybody can pass. Some folk can pass. It's some white black people that look, they got blonde hair and blue eyes, but they very well may be biracial. And whenever they enter spaces of all white people and other white folks think that they are also white, the things that they will say, not knowing that that person is biracial. I love our little sentinels because they come back and they tell it all. Sure, when they thought I was white, you ain't going to believe what they said to me. Or there are some white folks that are allies, and they'll go into all white spaces, and they'll have a bunch of black friends, but these white people who they're sharing space with don't know that. And you walk into a space, especially a white woman with blonde hair and blue eyes, you walk into a space that's, I don't know, majority white men, they will let the N-word fly like it's the word the, if, but, or and. And they'll come back and say, sure, well, you won't believe what they said. Oh, no, no, no. I totally believe. So white people have a much better barometer of who is racist and who is not. I'm gonna try and prove a point when I get some details from you all. So go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device. Search 1017 The Truth. Hit subscribe. You'll be able to vote in our YouTube poll, our new YouTube poll. What percentage of white people do you think have some kind of racial bias? And this spans the entire range from just benign ignorance and a little bit of prejudice to someone who was overtly racist, and they'll tell you, and maybe they're a member of a white separatist group, like they're proud of their white heritage and they think black people should go back to Africa. So what percentage of white people do you think fall somewhere on that spectrum, on that continuum? Okay, while you're thinking about that and voting in the poll, let's talk to Al. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm doing good, and happy Monday. First thing I want to say with the gun range, when they came on that show and said, come to the gun range on Juneteenth, me personally, I thought it was very low vibration, and I thought it was very Porch Monkey niggerish because they figure, hey, they blacken their guns, you know, so it was very low vibration, so because they wouldn't have did that to no white folks. I also feel, moving to Kyle should have got an attorney. Because Crowley is not going to go up against no white man, and a racist knows the only thing that gets him to act right is when you tap into his money. So Kyle should have got him a good attorney and took it to the table right there. I also feel that Republicans need their own holiday. We should call that holiday Pedophile Sunday. And the slogan should be, the truth won't be told if they're 6 and 7 years old.
Oh.
When you look at how the migrants goes in and they come out, single mothers, if you look at how these white men is molesting these girls, and the judges say, well, I just think you need some counseling so you don't have to register on a sex offender list or be in a database. When you look at how some of these politicians is doing all the rape, and when you look at the Bible, the boys and girls that have sex, kill them and keep the virgins for yourself. And also, I've recently, it was some Republicans who voted against banning kiddie porn. So since these Republicans can stand on business or saying you a proud rapist, stand on business and say you a proud pedophile. There's a video going around here with a white Republican stating, and this is not AI, there is nothing wrong with raping children. That is in a lot of y'all bloodlines. That is in a lot of y'all culture. I understand some of y'all was raised that way because your mother allowed you to sit on your grandfather's lap with no underwear, and some of your mothers laid there and knew that your father was banging your guts out.
Damn.
So since you stand on business as being a racist, stand on business and say, I am a proud pedophile. And what I will ask you, Mr. Hughes,
please don't,
if you are ever out. No, what I was going to ask you was, is if Israel come to you, beat his ass. He's asking you if he's gay. The answer is still no. So if he want to come to you, beat his ass. Ain't no talking. Have yourself a great day. Bye-bye.
Israel's made of steel. He's the only man I know that's survived gunshots from the cops.
I saw him here. I think it was Friday. He was creeping around the market hall.
Friday?
Yeah, he was
this here. Past weekend.
Yeah, just when I left Friday, he was here. I saw him in here in the market hall area. But when I walk out of here, I got a little secret pathway. You can't find me when I walk out of the studio. I used to walk right through the market hall. That's stupid.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then in the market hall.
He comes here. He was banned. I don't know if they lifted the ban or if he's able to sneak in. The security here is not exactly top notch. And then I saw him he was outside the parking structure on Michigan.
He got banned?
Yeah.
Heard he was hiding in the bathrooms.
I don't know if that is what got him
overnight
banned, but there was another time where I saw him talking to security because he was. Who knows? I don't know.
Sounds pretty scary to me.
Yeah. But so when I saw him, he doesn't know what I drive. Well, you might. I was like, should I just go get dude real quick to snatch him up? I was like, nah, I won't do that. Sometimes you got to let folks know. But I don't want to be involved in that because, you know, people think it's sweet.
Yeah, don't be playing crazy with a crazy person.
I'm crazy too now, clearly. I come here every day.
I don't know. You saw that video. You played the video. That's pretty insane to me. Throwing a rotor?
Brake rotor. But brake rotor? What he said was much more telling. He was telling the cop to kill him. He was like, kill me. You don't understand the things that I see. You know what I mean? Like, that's not.
Yeah.
That ain't cool. So he's not nearly the only one. In the time that I've been doing this, paranoid schizophrenics that listen to talk radio can be particularly dangerous, especially if they're not medicated, because they will very easily justify that I am speaking directly to them. They have no idea, no concept that I'm talking to a large audience. They hear me and they think that I'm speaking directly to them. Case in point, Michael Jackson's song, Billie Jean. Billie Jean was Michael Jackson's stalker. And I guess she was, like, dangerous. She's a real person. And he made us. Mike was so spooked by Billie Jean, he made a song. Now, the song went platinum many, many times over. But, no, it's parasocial relationships are very real. All right, what am I doing with my life? Take a look at the poll here. What percentage of white people do you think are racist? Yikes. 0 to 10%, 9% of you say 0 to 10%. And this spans the entire spectrum of racism from overt, like I hate N-words, I want to separate from N-words. You know, the people that form this all-white colony, I think it's in Idaho is one of them. There's a couple of them where white people want to start these all-white towns, whatever. And there's another one in Arkansas. So the whole spectrum, so from overt and wanting to separate and wanting to be, you know, being a part of a white nationalist group to people who just have a real, like a small basic level of racism or prejudice. Like, oh, black people are thieves, or I don't want to get in the elevator with a black person, or black children are dumb, so we have to water down the curriculum, or we have to do all of these things for African-Americans because they're clearly helpless. Because there's a kind of racism that is low expectation. So there are those people, and sometimes they're liberal, like, oh, you blacks are just dumb, you don't know any better. We want to help you. We want to make sure you get all the welfare that you need because you're poor and you can't work and you're probably very dumb. That's a kind of racism as well, even though it may come across as very sweet and very gentle. And there's something else that happens that I noticed in society. It happened a couple of times this weekend. When people, it feels artificial, it doesn't feel real, it doesn't feel organic. When people are just, like, unnecessarily nice to you. Like, I was a white woman that was walking. I went to the Sweet Diner for brunch yesterday. My first time going to the Sweet Diner. I like the Sweet Diner. I'm walking into the Sweet Diner because we got the little text message that our table was ready. And I'm far away from the door. I'm uncomfortably far away from the door. But this white lady was like, I'm going to hold the door for him. She very easily could have just walked in and gone and sat down and just gone about her business. But then you feel that pressure to, like,
walk jog because they're holding the door for you. Like, you got to, like, speed up. And I don't really move any faster when somebody's holding the door for me. I just make it look like I'm moving faster to show that I'm appreciative that they're holding the door. There's things like that. Or during the George Floyd era, there was a situation where, you know, I was walking toward crossing the street. So I wasn't even near where the crosswalk was. And this white woman in this SUV, she just stopped. And I'm like, I'm 100 feet away from the crosswalk. Like, I'm still, she could have very easily kept driving. Oh, no. She stopped and she waved me to go across the street. Like, oh, I'm going to stop my vehicle for you. Like, what is that? Like, don't be overly nice to me like I'm helpless. I don't know. I don't trust their intentions, even when their intentions come across as nice. So here we have so far the question of our new poll, because I'm trying to figure something out. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to discuss something with you where I just want you guys to have a little more details about the Democratic Socialist people, because you're about to elect one. What percentage of white people do you think have some kind of racial bias? 8% of you think 0 to 10% of white people have some kind of racial bias. 3% of you think 10 to 30% of white people have racial bias. 21% of you think 30 to 50% of white people have some kind of racial bias. And 68% of you think that over 50% of white people have some kind of racial bias. I would fall into that category just because it's so easy to have some, at least a low level of racial bias against black people. And I'm not talking about Asians here. I'm not talking about Latinos and Hispanics. I'm not talking about all people of color. I'm talking about specifically black people. So 68% of you think that half or more of white people have some kind of racial bias. Okay, take a break, come back, continue our conversation. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back in a couple minutes.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I'm from a place where we don't do no ratting. No. Homie, just tell me what happened. Heard it got caught with the stuck with the heard he got left with the Hold on.
I didn't know this. They even offer 50% lane and range time discounts for the Juneteenth shoot around. That was determined to get them some black asses out there. Doors open early around 9 a.m. with late night hours extended through midnight on Juneteenth. Focus, family-friendly environment, emphasizing responsible firearm ownership, safety education, and proper training. So if you went to the Eagle Sports Club shooting range, they captured your information of your vehicle on a flock camera. That's wild. All right, let's So let me look at the poll number, see if they've moved at all. Because we asked you a question, what percentage of white people do you think have some racial bias? 6% of you just changed. Think 0 to 10% of white people have some racial bias. 2% of you think 10 to 30% of white people have racial bias. 19% of you think 30 to 50% of white people have some form of racial bias. This is the whole spectrum from benign, low expectations kind of racism and prejudice all the way up through white nationalists and white supremacists. 73% of you believe that over 50% of white people fall somewhere on that spectrum of having at least a modicum of racial bias. I'm going to do the demographics of the different political parties. I want you to think about this now. Because we're talking about white people. We're not talking about their affiliation. I'm not talking about white Democrats or white moderates or white liberals or progressives. None of that. Just white people in general. Because you are white before you have a political party affiliation. And a lot of times, your racial bias is instilled in you before you even consider voting and before you are old enough to vote. There was an experiment done with children where they showed 4 and 5 year old children black dolls and white dolls. And they asked these children, which doll is the nice doll? Even the black children pointed to the white doll.
Which doll is the one that's naughty all the time? Even these children showed racial bias. Go look the study up. The doll experiment with 4- and 5-year-old children. So racial bias starts very early. And if it's instilled in a child that young, as they get older, confirmation bias will solidify it. And I don't know how we get to the bottom of that, but here we are. Approximately 80% of people that call themselves Republicans are white. The remainder is roughly 13% Hispanic, 2% Asian American, and 2% Black, though minority support has ticked up slightly. So 80% of the Republican Party and people who call themselves Republicans, they vote for Republicans, are white. I don't think that that shocks anyone. The Democratic Socialists of America did a membership survey to ascertain the demographics of who are paid members of the DSA. They've got about 120,000 paid members nationwide. And Francesca Hong, who is a candidate running for governor, those of you that are going to vote tomorrow, you will see her name on your ballot if you are going to vote and if you plan on voting for governor. Also note that her campaign has, it's done a really good job of talking about issues that are on the minds of people in the state of Wisconsin. Not necessarily any kind of a policy pathway to get some of those concerns into actual law, but to talk about those things that are on the minds of Wisconsinites really does help your campaign. Also keep in mind, she's been doing a disproportionate amount of national news interviews with basically anybody, left-leaning, conservative, Fox News, Fox Business. She's taking every opportunity she can possibly get to do some national news interviews. Now, David Crowley has done some as well, but she's probably outpacing him as far as national exposure. 3-1. And you have to wonder, if you're running for governor of Wisconsin, why do you find it necessary to nationalize a gubernatorial race? If it's a Senate race, that's different because that can have an impact on who has the balance of power in the U.S. Senate and in Congress writ large. But she's taken every single opportunity she can to do these national interviews because even if she loses in November, she is platforming democratic socialism. And she is platforming it in a way in which they are going to get more attention, more notoriety, going to be exposed to more people, and they are going to raise more money. Please keep in mind, she is not a Democrat. She is running as one. Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat either. He's an independent who's a Democratic Socialist, but he does caucus with the Democrats. Bernie Sanders has declined to endorse Francesca Hong. I think people need to investigate maybe why that is. He said, oh, we don't get into those kind of races. Yes, you do, Bernie. You endorse governors. Yes, you do. You endorse mayors, you endorse Mamdani. Francesca Hong is trying to platform democratic socialism so that in the next couple of years, the platform of democratic socialism is going to be raised to such a high level that more people are going to find it legitimate. I just saw an interview with David Crowley. Somebody posted something on Twitter where they asked him about his number one opponent in this race, Francesca Hong, about, I don't know if it was data centers or affordable housing. He's still over here agreeing with her. When he is not drawing contrast with her in every single question any reporter can ask, then people might as well vote for her. They might as well. If you are not contrasting yourself, that's why the Republicans are bringing up the, you know, she wants to abolish the police and abolish ICE and get rid of prisons and get rid of Christmas because it shows contrast. Republicans obviously support all of those things. She doesn't. In a voter's mind, especially a voter that is not dig deep into the issues, all you got to do is just show them black and white. Show them where this candidate wants to get rid of Christmas and this candidate loves Christmas, and most voters can make their mind up just from that. When you are agreeing with someone who is from a third party, you legitimize that third party because what they don't have is they don't have enough legislative support for their agenda. But if she continues to do these national interviews, she is elevating the platform of democratic socialism to where it is not only normalized, it almost looks like it's going to be the replacement of the Democratic Party, which I vehemently disagree with for a couple of reasons. From their own member survey, data from the internal membership survey of the Democratic Socialists of America, cited from their comprehensive member data, 85% of Democratic Socialists are white. The Democratic Socialists are whiter than the Republican Party. And then you have to wonder, why is there no agenda for Black Milwaukee? Why has there no been direct outreach to African-American communities? Why is their response to our children not being on grade level in reading and math? It's to take away educational options because the Democratic Socialists are even whiter, as whiter than the actual Republican Party. And that's why I asked you this poll question, because clearly you guys believe that 73% of white people in this country have some kind of racial bias. So that means that you all may believe that the Democratic Socialists, as liberal as they may appear, they are a political party that is even whiter than the Republicans. And I want you to actually think about that. Do not think for a second because of somebody's pseudo-political affiliation that they can't be racist. One of the best ways to be racist, either overt or covert, is through your politics. That's the way you do it. You can fool black people into thinking that you love us, into thinking that you're liberal, because our stupid asses, we invite everybody to the barbecue. That's the stupidest thing that we ever did. We started giving out blanket invitations to white people coming to the barbecue because they are coming for malicious purposes to listen to us, to talk to us, to find out how we live, to find out details about our lives that they otherwise would never get because we didn't used to let these folks come to our damn barbecues. Now y'all give an open invitation. They're using everything you say against you. Now, in the survey that we are taking via YouTube,
the hold truth on, what's with happening? Sherwin Hughes why returns is that after this.
Don't do that. I'm over here making a point. I'm over here cussing and getting mad. Don't be doing
this. Is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This is fun around here. All right, everyone. Love heated political discussions. I think this is important demographic information. Data from the Internal Membership Survey of the Democratic Socialists of America, widely cited from their comprehensive member data, which they freely shared, and we appreciate that. Roughly 85% white, 4% black. 80% of Democratic Socialists are college educated. Only 4% are working in blue collar jobs. So the working people that they say that they are fighting for, they're not even a part of that group. These are college educated white folks. And they are whiter than the actual Republican Party. The Republican Party is roughly 80% white. Democratic Socialists are 85% white. So if you believe that white people harbor some kind of racial bias, then why wouldn't Democratic Socialists also harbor that racial bias but have a better way to try and mask it? 85% are non-Hispanic white. 9% of Democratic Socialists identify Hispanic, 5% Asian, African-American, 4%. More than 80% of members age 25 and older hold at least a bachelor's degree, with roughly 35% holding an advanced or professional degree. These are highly educated white folks, and I don't want you to think for a second because someone is highly educated and Caucasian that they are not racist. Racism oftentimes precludes somebody's political affiliation because racial bias was built into someone long before they were casting ballots or identifying with a political party. Only 4% of Democratic Socialists, these are from the members now, people that actually pay dues and are an actual part of the Democratic Socialism political apparatus, only 4% are blue-collar working-class Americans. The majority are employed in fields like nonprofits, social work, healthcare, and education. But for some reason, there is no policy platform to address how poor black children are performing in our public schools. In fact, their response to that is, quote unquote, fully fund public schools, but get rid of charter schools and get rid of other types of schools that the black community came up with so that we can give our children a fair shot. They are just as racially biased as Republicans. And here's the thing that I know thus far, and I've been around these blocks many, many times, and every so often America gets fed up with the political system and they threaten to flirt with a third party. Third parties really don't get any action. They don't get any rhythm. They don't get any traction because the establishment of either political party is where the money is at. And if Francesca Hong hopes to be successful in November, she's going to need that same establishment that she and her supporters have banished and disrespected. And I don't know how she comes back to the middle, especially if you don't have any kind of a platform for the city of Milwaukee. She would campaign here, absolutely. She'll do well in Milwaukee County. But if there is no policy platform to address what's on the minds of the residents of this city, she's not going to get the share of vote she is going to need to beat a Republican is going to spend tens of millions of dollars to call her a communist and to say that she wants to defund the police and she wants to get rid of Christmas. Because one thing I've known about these folks that are on the far left that identify with democratic socialism and our supporters of Francesca Hans, they are bullies. Now, there's a small share of people that are going to vote in tomorrow's election. We're lucky if we see 30% turnout. But of that 30%, they are very, very hearty in their support for a new political party or a third political party. In fact, the Democrats are not doing well at all, even nationally. They're something like 26 points underwater, which also helps the case of Democratic Socialists, because the Democrats themselves, the actual real Democrats, are not doing very well in the eyes of the public. In fact, Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are going to have a very, very tough time hanging on to their leadership positions come November and then come January of next year. But when the larger number of voters turn out in November, all of the demeaning comments and the disrespect that have been hurled at those of us who consider themselves a little bit more sensible and in the middle, and which is fine because it's politics and we know it's a blood sport, but if you have campaigned essentially against educational options for black children, you're not going to earn my vote. And you can't say, oh, you know, Tom, Tiffany is a lot worse. That don't work with me. And there's a whole bunch of other voters that feel the exact same way that I do. Now, they're not saying anything right now. But all we're doing is we're sitting back and we're collecting receipts because of the blatant disrespect and just the bullying being exhibited by these Democratic Socialists does not bode well for your candidate. And unfortunately, Francesca, who I'm sure is a very nice lady, I don't know her personally like that, she is going to have to explain the off-color and disrespectful comments and the arrogance of her supporters. And they're awful. If you say anything, even like questioning what her policy platforms are and how they're actually going to work, they will cut you personally. Engaging with them on social media is an absolute kiss of death, but I'd say let them show who they are, because I know this much, I will never be political allies with those people. If you're going to disrespect and like label us the quote-unquote establishment, but you're going to need that same establishment and their votes, you don't get to talk to us any old kind of way and not have a political agenda and think you're going to get our vote. When you have a third-party candidate on the ballot, it is actually easier for people to vote for someone else. Now, this is a lesson that needs to be learned. But also, if she loses in November, she still wins because she, as a Democratic Socialist, legitimized her party by getting the nomination of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. And here's how she's going to ensnare everybody, because you're going to have actual, real Democrats. They're going to pretend to band together to, you know, be with her so they can fight against Tom Tiffany. Every Democrat that goes on tour with her, that goes to events with her and travels around the state with her, you are taking away your own chances of being reelected, because you too are going to be platforming Democratic Socialism. And the way the profile is going to be raised of this offshoot party, which is 85% white. Remember, Democratic Socialists are even whiter than Republicans are. Even if they lose, they win, because she is doing national interviews to raise the profile of Democratic Socialism. And they need that because they need to raise more money, because they can't rely on the Democratic Party's establishment to give them money. There's no super PAC supporting the DSA. The Republicans have hundreds of them. So I'm going to take a break, come back. We'll grab some telephone calls on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let's talk to Al from Sherman Park. Hello, Al from Sherman Park. You're on 1017 The Truth.
Hey, how you doing, Sherwin?
I don't know.
Bob killed me this morning. your topic, I think, is dead on with the socialists being overeducated white people. I don't know where they get the socialism out of their education. Maybe because they went to a African-American studies class or some minority studies class, and they think they know more about black people than black people. But I was going to ask, what ideology would you prescribe to most? The ideology where it says black people are weak and disadvantaged and can't achieve, and therefore they need all these government programs, or given opportunity, you can achieve with hard work?
You want me to ascribe an ideology to what part?
I'm just saying, what would you rather have from your politician? Someone that believes that black people are weak, they don't have education, they're just naturally inclined to be
That's
at the bottom.
That's obvious, but there has to be more nuance. You can't just look at black people in one basket or the other. There are reasons why some black people are not doing well and they're not behind and they're undereducated and they're underemployed. I want a politician that will go to the root causes of that and begin to unravel those institutional and structural policies so that we can move forward. But we're 100 years behind even attempting that conversation. But, of course, I want everybody to get the same opportunities and be able to be successful and know black people are not stupid. We're just as good as anybody else. Of course, that is where I would side, but it's not that easy.
It just rubs me the wrong way when I hear a white liberal tell me about black people and how we're disadvantaged. And I come from the school of thought, just the way I was raised, that if we give the same opportunities of education, that as long as we work hard, we can achieve it. There's no inherent disability in our skin color.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
All right.
Okay, then bye-bye. Income spread. While 45% of Democratic Socialists of America reported household incomes below $60,000, 30% of them make $100,000 or more. Well, 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 looks like I know who we're going to be taxing. They're not even the working class people that they say they are. They have bachelor's degrees or higher. And a third of them make six figures. What are they even angry about? More than 80% of Democratic Socialists age 25 and older have a bachelor's degree, with 35% holding an advanced degree or professional degree. So a third of them have master's degrees and PhDs, and another third of them make six figures. These are not poor working class white people that want minimum wage raised. They are upper class, highly educated white folks. And their political party, Democratic Socialists of America, are even whiter than the Republican Party, which means that just inherently they are going to be detached and devoid from issues that impact the black community. And you do not have to take my word for it. Go and try and find Francesca Hong's agenda for the African-American community and African-American voters, keeping in mind that black people are still a significant part of the vote and the vote totals for black people in the state of Wisconsin. But if you have no agenda for us, wouldn't that be par for the course of a political party that is 85% white, with a third making over $100,000 a year and another third having a master's degree or higher? These are elite white people. That is what they are. That also hate the establishment, but as I'm looking at this, you don't get an advanced degree and make more than $100,000 a year in this country unless you are the establishment. The establishment is where you get your education from. The establishment is the corporate job you probably work at that is paying you six figures. But I also find it interesting, the number of them that work in education and in social work, you know, a lot of them are baby snatchers. They come in our community. That's some of the most racist policy you'll ever see. They come and do a little spot check on a black woman who's a single mother raising her three kids. She got too many dishes in this thing. Baby snatcher, go take her kids away from her. The number of nonprofits that exist that are run by white women, they get state grants, county grants, and city grants to run nonprofit organizations to, quote unquote, help and work with and provide parenting classes and mentoring for black people is astounding because I see how much money they make. I talked about the mentoring program. Milwaukee County used to offer a contract for mentoring where they pay these agencies between $90 and $120 per hour per mentor because I guess the county found it worthy to invest that kind of taxpayer money in finding mentors for black kids. White women run those agencies, and they pay the mentees, or the mentors rather, $15 an hour, but the agency is collecting between $90 and $120 an hour. So even after they pay their mentors, these agencies are collecting $75 to $105 per hour that one of their mentors is spending time with a black child. It's a racket. And they are capitalizing financially off of social detriments in our community. Let's talk to the town. You only got about a minute, the town, because my show is over shortly. But go ahead.
How you doing, sir? Real quickly, like white people, like they won't never address this. But like everything that they grew up with is almost racist. Like you look at the children's songs that they learned when they was a kid. Almost all of them of children's songs, they derive from like racist tropes or whatever like that, like Camp Town races and even down to EIEIO. So like they've been raised from this from the start, and it's something that they won't, you know what I'm saying, they won't address for themselves. And then if somebody else address it, then you playing the race card. You know what I'm saying? That's all I have to say. Oh, yeah, and vote for Crowley. Y'all vote for Crowley, man. You black, vote for Crowley. You don't got no choice, man. Peace. That's my time.
All right, then. And we got some Democratic Socialists in the YouTube chat. Y'all keep that same energy because the margin in which Francesca Hong will likely defeat David Crowley is going to be the exact same margin which she loses to Tom Tiffany. Mostly because of the arrogance and the narcissism and the blatant racism of Democratic Socialists. And they're just bullies. And they're going to see, even though they've already won because they have taken over the Democratic Party. And they don't care, quite honestly, if the Democratic Party loses because they are platforming Democratic Socialism. Next time I talk to you, it will, in fact, be Election Day. Until then, lunch break is up next.